I mentioned the three saints that we honor today as examples of extraordinary life, not ordinary life. So even though we have entered into ordinary time, we are not to lower our standards or to raise them up. We have received the Holy Spirit. So these three saints show us the fruitfulness of the Holy Spirit, the great variety of his gifts and ministries. There are many gifts, but the same Lord, you know. They also show us the fruitfulness of the church, Mother Church, fruitfulness of Mary, Mother of the Church. So we have a scholar from the early Middle Ages, St. Bede, somewhere in the 7th or 8th century. Then we have a pope from a few centuries later, Pope St. Gregory the 7th, a kind of a master administrator and diplomat. And then a few centuries later, get into the Renaissance period, and we have a Carmelite mystic, St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi. Very different from each other, from very different periods of history, different temperaments, different gifts. In fact, they're nothing alike at all, except that they're saints, except that they're holy. So they're examples to us of what it means to live according to the Holy Spirit, to be led by the Spirit. They also are examples of people who gave themselves in love, made a gift of themselves. And that's, I think, at the center of today's readings, this idea that we are all called to make a gift of ourselves. What St. John Paul II called the law of the gift. I think he's the one who used that expression. Actually, many people use it, but the law of the gift. It could be called the law of love. I mean, it's certainly love, and we're all called to love. But since love is often misunderstood, it might be easier to get the point if we say the law of the gift. Or maybe you could say the law of selfless love, the law of love which makes a gift, because there's an aspect of love which is a receiving love too. Agape, eros, they go together. But we're talking about the gift love, agape love. So these are clear in today's readings. In the reading from Sirach, it's a collection of thoughts on the importance of giving. Don't come before the Lord empty-handed. Make an offering, make a sacrifice, be generous, pay your homage to the Lord, make a contribution, pay your tithes. He says it in so many different ways. And he's not saying what the scriptures often say, give to the poor, give to the orphans and the widows and the aliens. He's not saying who is the recipient. He's stressing the importance of making a gift. For the Lord is one who always repays. He will give back to you sevenfold. It's the law of the gift. When we make a gift of ourselves, we receive more than we give. And this is in the gospel as well. The law of the gift. Jesus says there is no one who has given up house, brothers, sisters, mother, father, children, lands, who will not receive 100 times more, even in this life and in the next life, eternal life, life without end. Again, he's not saying give your money, your lands, or your family members to particular people. He's not saying this is a gift to the poor, a gift to the refugees, a gift to the victims of this or that disaster. But that's all good, that's important. But that's not the aspect of the gift that comes out in these readings. The aspect of the giving is the benefit that comes to the giver. This is the law of the gift. St. John Paul II, when he was speaking of this, usually was speaking in the context of marriage, or any relationship of love, but especially marriage, because it's only when we make a gift of ourselves that we really become ourselves. Only when we make a gift of ourselves in love to another that we become ourselves. We become lovers. We can't do it by ourselves. We have to make a gift of ourselves. And we ourselves benefit from it. By making a gift of ourselves, we gain greater possession of ourselves. And then we can make a greater gift of ourselves. Even if the one or those to whom we give ourselves, they don't welcome the gift. This is the amazing thing. Even if the gift is not received, and my goodness, in marriages people know this, parents certainly know this. Why is it so beautiful, fatherhood and motherhood? Well, because it's automatically given to the children. People who really live their vocation as parents, they make a gift of themselves for the good of the children. Sometimes the children don't turn out so good. Sometimes they're not grateful. They don't welcome the gift. They might even be resentful. Well, that's sad when that happens, but it doesn't prevent the parents from becoming holy. Same in marriage. I know spouses give themselves to one another. It's in that gift that we become ourselves. Maybe I can use another example of the law of the gift. You remember the Pondo ng Pinoy. I never hear about it anymore, but I think it still exists. But the principle on which that Pondo ng Pinoy was built was not here's a cause to support or here's some poor people who need our help. That was not the focus. The focus was, if we're Christians, we have to give. We have to put into practice. We have to put into practice the law of the gift. In other words, we have to give. And so the principle of the Pondo ng Pinoy was give 25 centavos a day, which is basically nothing. I don't even see 25 centavo coins anymore. Are they still around? Okay, well, so give 25 centavo coin once a day, meaning anyone can give that much. Even the poorest person can afford to give up 25 centavos. And the point is not how much we're going to get for some good cause, but how good it is for people to give. Learn how to give. Make a little gift of yourself every day, and you will become a better Christian. You'll become a better person. So that's the law of the gift. Now, in the readings, this is emphasized. As I say, the Lord repays; He gives back sevenfold. So you give your 25 centavos. What's 7 times 25 centavos? 1.75. Okay. Now you don't get much back if you only give a little. But the point is, we receive more. Now, the danger here, and this is what Sirach brings out, the danger is we can twist the law of the gift and make it once again selfishness. We say to ourselves, if I give, I will benefit, and that's why I'm going to give. And Sirach says, no, that ruins it. That's no longer a gift. That's selfishness again. So that's why he says here, offer no bribes. He's talking about to the Lord. He's not talking about bribes in the city hall. He's talking about sacrifices to the Lord. Offer no bribes. These he does not accept. Trust not in sacrifice of the fruits of extortion, for he's a God of justice who knows no favorites. So if we take the mentality, I'm going to be generous so that I will get more, we're not really being generous. Sometimes you'll hear preachers use this argument. I don't hear it so much in Catholic settings, but you know, these television evangelists sometimes say things like this: oh, give, dig deep, give more, and you'll get many blessings. In other words, support my ministry and you will become rich. Well, that's not the reason for giving, and it can easily distort the very heart of the gospel. But it is true that the giver receives. That's the law of the gift. The giver does receive. That's not the reason for giving. Jesus says it too. Here, you give, you're going to receive 100 times more. But that's not the reason for giving. When we give, we also receive persecution. That's a way of purifying this gift. So if we give and we're persecuted, and this is what parents often experience, if we give and we're persecuted, well, then our gift will be purer. We're not doing it in order to receive. We're doing it because it's good. And that makes us good. So the law of the gift. Now, this is not only in these readings. This is everywhere in the Bible. Just think of the parable of the grain of wheat falls into the ground. If it doesn't fall into the ground and die, it just remains what it is. Or the parable of the talents. If you bury your talent, or the parable of the coins, if you bury your talent, if you bury your coins, well, then you're going to lose them. But if you give them, if you invest them, if you participate in the law of the gift, you're going to get back 10 times more. Jesus himself says, give and you will receive. Good measure, pressed down, flowing over. That's how it works. Now, this is a very good thing to reflect on this week, because we have just celebrated the gift of the Holy Spirit and we are preparing for the Feast of the Holy Trinity. The law of the gift is rooted in the Holy Trinity. It's a good way of reflecting on who God really is. He is an eternal giver. The Father giving to the Son giving to the Father and the Son giving the Spirit. And what we celebrated on Pentecost was this law of the gift. In fact, we celebrated it for the whole Easter season. The law of the gift, Jesus' sacrifice, benefited everybody, and it still benefits us. And the church, participating in this law, became very fruitful. That was the whole Easter season. We were reflecting on the rapid spread of the church. Well, it all is rooted in the Holy Trinity. The ultimate giver is God himself. And what does he give? He gives himself. That's all he gives. But he gives it all. And because this is the root of all creation, when we participate in it, when we follow this law of the gift, then we get the benefit of being more like God. That's the greatest thing. So Jesus says, you give, 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 you'll receive, you'll receive, you'll receive, and you'll be persecuted as well, and eternal life in the age to come. That's life in union with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So it's worth celebrating, it's worth pondering, and it's worth striving to live the law of the gift, meaning the way of selfless love.